Stop the train, I'm leaving. Believe me when I say, stop the train, I'm leaving. I said it won't be too long, whether I'm right or wrong. Won't be too long, whether I'm right or wrong.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here. And as usual, following up on other subjects, and you can go to carolcox.com, pick up the podcast, or go to KWAI 1080 AM and you can get .com and you can get podcasts or stream live on the internet. So many things I want to talk about today. A couple of them are getting an echo back here somehow. But a couple of the things I want to talk about is, you know, our favorite subject is the rail. And along with that, and rail means it's about, supposedly now the new theory is that it's going to reduce traffic, you know, all of those things. And sometimes when I talk about this subject, it's like it's regurgitating the same old spit, the same old thing. The paper today shows that Caldwell is getting money, and we've talked about that for eons, that it just goes further to identify specifically who is getting and giving what. But again, that's just what Caldwell reported. That's not the parties, the news stories that he get in favor. But again, did it come to anybody's surprise or shock that he would be getting money? And as the question is always asked, should donations be treated as gifts? But, folks, half of our problems that we have, I think we sit, we talk about it, we expose it, we bring it to your attention, and then nothing happens. And there's this new discussion about maglev, and I'm puzzled because in the early stages I thought that the rail system as it stands and as it was being presented was the unsightly. All parties were objecting. It was going to be taken up ag property and what have you. And now we're saying, oh, let's go and use that for this purpose instead of that purpose, because that's an old antiquated method and what have you. So the whole process just seems to be, it's puzzling. Who's on what side and what time of the day and what time of the year? And there's an editorial today about maglev. Well, folks, if you want to be believable, There's nothing, even if you presented maglev, let me just pull your coattail and remind you. You're still in the state of Hawaii, and you're still in Honolulu, and you still got the same people that are thieving and taking and kickbacks and all that. Let's have some of the engineers and all those parties advancing these new technologies and all. Let's talk about that. Let's flesh that out. Let's talk about the Kimberly Pines, who all the mayor has to do is snap his finger and she's there. And all she has to do is declare some stupid move that she's going to run and you vote for her. So I thought the loss of ag land, period, whether it was Ho'opili or whether it was the rails tracks or the foundation that the rail was going to be taking ag land, it was unsightly, it violated the site plan. It disrupted or caused disturbance to sacred sites and bones or Ivy Kupuna. So I'm a little puzzled as to how so easily people can jump and say, well, let's make it maglev now. Let's do this. Well, let's go get an environmental impact statement and let's learn to speak up front early rather than we've thrown rocks, and now we think we have a chance and got an audience, so we introduce these new things. But it's been my experience that the new things are no better than the old things, because nobody in this town wants to speak to the corruption that causes things to be expensive. Everybody out there that's proposing new, they got friends in the closet somewhere that has decided to approach this. This is the weakest point. Let's put this up. Let's do this. Let's propose that. Ms. Kobayashi was proposing a bus rubber system way back, and now we're talking about maglev. Why don't we just take a time out and tear that entire thing down and go back to a major plan and try to duplicate what others are doing, where it's cheaper, more feasible, and the upkeep and the maintenance is not going to be so costly that it's a burden on the taxpayer. That's what I want to see. I'm this musical chairs with technology and what have you. So, but another thing I wanted to talk about was the actual zipper line matter. And the zipper line and all of that, you know, that traffic jam? I don't believe that, as one caller last week called and I had indicated that I was asking questions, and I am. And I'm just saying that there are a number of people now asking questions. Questions that went unanswered or goes unanswered. And we want to do a survey, motivated to do a survey. And this survey is hopefully will reach out to some of you, and you would share with us some of the experiences of how you were negatively impacted by that traffic jam, that so-called traffic jam. You know, it's... Let me see how to put it without sounding menini or petty. The gentleman there that is suspected of throwing himself in front of the bus, and that causes a major delay. Now, my heart aches for anyone that finds himself in a mental state, or anyone that takes their lives, or just death itself is, I don't welcome it so readily. And so I for the gentleman's family and what have you, I'm really sad and feel pain. Something was bothering that person that triggered that thought and to act in such a way. But, you know, when you shut down the freeway for that long and you know the thing, is there other methods of documenting and photo documenting? I know that. For example, something as serious and as sensitive as documenting the Ivy Kupuna, or as some people call the bones. The process is, in the state here, the person that's constructing or disturbing them can just simply take a photograph of them, box them up, and many times they just store them in a garage or in some dark room. That's cultural and it's sensitive, but not much time is spent. So why do we, when we have these accidents, is there a better way to actually videotape, photo, do all of that without stalling? And that leads me to this. If they're able to control that and decide whether they shut down the lanes and all of that to do this investigation for such an extended period of time, is it possible that they actually manipulated the zipper line to do that? Because it's all within their means. If it was that bad, why don't we have any secondary secondary solutions to this? So this process that I want to hopefully invite you to, and then you can call in 524-1080, and we'll be talking about the rail as well and many other things, a monk seal that died, and next week I hope to have some information on that matter and talk extensively about it and what is going on with the management of marine mammals and the whales and what have you. But this rail issue and the zipper lane issue. So we let's go back here, and I want to share with you some of the questions that I would like to ask you, just if you would be willing to share with us, because what I heard them say was, the officials say, about $1 million in gasoline was spent in this waiting, and it got me to thinking. And this got me to thinking, and that is, how many of you were impacted that had to pick up children and it impacted you to a great extent? How many of you were carpoolers and didn't get to make your connection and it was disrupted? I'd like to hear some of those stories, or as many as we can. How many didn't make it to work that day in the late shift of going? How many were not able to get an ambulance? And possibly, is there any stories out there that people actually, while waiting for emergency care or EMS to respond, were they impacted to the point where it resulted in the death of a loved one? How many didn't get service by the handy van or were stranded by handy van, waiting or aboard the van, stuck in traffic? I'd like to be able to talk about that in the coming weeks, months, to talk about specifically these real impacts, not this glass over, you know, where we glaze it over and say, oh, it's $1 million as if it was of a concern. Even that is a concern because it's our money as taxpayers and individuals. So anyway, caller, go ahead with your comments if you have any.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I understand your focus in terms of the incident you're speaking of, it's shock and awe. It's a reason why they want the present system. These people that are corrupt are curators of our Ohana culture. And they, for example, in Boston, you had the big dig with an elevated guideway. They tore it down. In San Francisco, you had the ferry building with an elevated guideway. They did not replace it. We're going to put up one in front of the Aloha Tower here in Hawaii. And I'm not going to go into the matrix in terms of bidders across the top of a page and the criteria for the bidders, hot lane, steel wheel, magnetic monorail. I'll just end it here, but what is for me most important, they talk of facts and figures and numbers, but they don't talk about aesthetics and they don't talk about the value of this system for the rider. We need a rider audit, and the rider's audit should be public by a third person, and there should be someone with subpoena power, and they should audit everything that's going on. Thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we need an audit, Richard. You there? Hello? Anyway, Richard, you can call back if you... connected. I was trying to ask.
Hello?
Yeah, I had a... you got your radio up in a little closer, but who should do this audit? Should it be a private person? I mean, or should we rely on the city's auditor to do it? That would be my question.
Mr. Cox, absolutely not the state audit the city. Not the city audit the city. Not a public independent group sponsored by the city or the state. Now, there is a Jacobs Engineering audit that found very critical. It is very, very difficult to understand exactly what's happening because when you read the paper, I've been at many city council meetings, and after I come home and I read the newspaper the next day, omission, commission, but I don't know exactly what went on. No, it's a point where I used to find amusing. I don't anymore because I am very, very angry. In the last 2 weeks, I've testified at least five times, at least twice on one day. And I listened to and took notes on the Hart board meeting that was Thursday, and it's the Kabuki Theater. They have rehearsed questions, they have rhetorical questions they agree upon beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And the power in the Hart board is not Kwan, it's not Gaboskis, it's Horner, Don Horner. He is the power on the Hart board.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I wanted to say to confirm everything you're saying, they are corrupt. We need a change. But mm-hmm. I do want to defend, I'm sorry, Ann Kobayashi, because I know Mr. Shapiro made a remark about her. She is the only one that has said no to the Hart board. No, I will not pass this bill, at least twice to my knowledge over the years. I will not pass this bill. It does not confirm for the public good of the people, the taxpayers. And now she has a vice chairman. It was Chang. And he said yes. This is years ago. And now it's Monahan who says yes. So now the bill is passed, and now they go on to the next reading. And everything you say from my own personal empirical experiences is absolutely true. We need a change. I don't know how, because they control, they have the power to do as they wish.
Well, they, you know, until they get caught.
Well, they're caught. You know, Nestor Garcia was caught for conflict of interest, $6,500 fine, and 1 or 2 weeks later he was voting again with the conflict of interest for the Chamber of Commerce. Now you've got Alfonte on the Chamber of, City Council. He comes out by his own admission and says he's helped get paid for by the public resource, Pacific Resource Partnership. They're the ones who were found suspect in terms of the whole Cayetano election.
Mm-hmm.
So now they admit it, and they're still there. They're not fined because they admit it. They disclosed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, today's paper, the Star Advertiser.
Yes.
There's on the front page, it talks about the campaign contributions and the rail itself and who's giving what. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I talked here about the State Ethics Commission, separate entity,
yes.
State agency, and they basically investigated a number of state employees for accepting golf from contractors, consultants, vendors, and other entities that had contracts or other business relationship with the state of Hawaii, right?
Yes.
The golf in question included both charity golf tournaments and recreational rounds of golf and blah, blah, blah. But so I went through that list, and so far, the list that's in the Advertiser, so they're working both sides of the streets, you see.
Yes.
It's indicated in the Advertiser's article that Ameron, and these are some of the, and these are the same ones that gave to the state, and these, they gave golf games, and the Ethics Commission found the people that the way they worded it, they didn't say they're guilty, but they tend to agree and they settle out of court and didn't go to a legal prosecution or anything of that nature, but they settled out. These workers did. Ameron Hawaii is on the Star Advertisers list, as well as the list of people that was giving golf money or golf games
boy.
To Ameron Hawaii, Bowers and Kubota, Grace Pacific,
oh boy.
KSF,
yep.
R.M. Towell, Ronald N.S. Hole and Associates, And so that's just, so far I've just started with that list, and you can find this list that I'm talking about on the Ethics Commission's website. But again, you know, this is, R.M. Towel, for example, gave Marshall Ando two golf tournaments, and two times, right?
Yes.
Kai Hawaii gave one. So, and these are named individuals that got the, let's see here, golf tournament one time from Bowers and Kubota. And these gentlemen were fined $3,200 for not the actual, don't know what happened to the companies. So they're working both sides of the fence. And if you read that ethics report, it talks about basically what is important about this. That is, the people that are getting these gifts and what have you generally are inspectors or people that have a say in rendering an opinion or approval or are sampling and what have you. So you go back to the rail and you see those cracks. And there's one little thing. I saw a report on TV, and I'm not an engineer, so I'm going to reserve my thoughts as much as I'd like to say what I think. I think we might be a little premature when we say the panels on the rail, the way they're uneven and what have you, because that seems, it can be adjusted. Now, I might be dead wrong. It may be just one of the worst jobs they've ever done in their life. But when you look to see if it's permanently affixed there, then we really got a problem. But if it's temporary, then they still have to go back through and put the suspensions or those things to support and raise them up to their level. So the cracks are unacceptable. The other things, I don't know about the panels. I don't know if they can move them, if they can shift them or what have you.
I can tell you about the concrete problem.
Mm-hmm.
At the hardboard on Thursday this past week, that came up in terms of the mixture of the concrete. It could be temperature. It could be vibrations. It could be the mixture itself, but on two of 150 were the only ones, and Grubowski said this is not a significant problem. These changes that have to be made are not at the expense of the public. They're at the expense of the company, and the company has fixed the changes without any expense to the taxpayer. Paulus Pivodoros gave an explanation of the whole process in terms of the concrete. But that's where it stands as of the hard board right now.
Right. Well, you know, the city has its inspectors, and the city should have those guys should be inspecting. But you see, here's when we say campaign donations. That's fine and dandy. That's a promise that the mayor got a little chunk change, pocket change, and he's going to be able to lie to you better than the next guy that lied to you.
Yep.
And his campaign commercials and what have you. But here's the real effect. This is what's really being purchased. That is, the mayor gets to appoint the DPP planning the director, right?
Yep.
And then he gets to have influence on who is the deputy director.
Yep.
And then if you go and look at most of HART, not most of it, a large number of the people that work at HART were DPP former employees.
Yep.
Inspectors. So the mayor has a far-reaching, and so that's what the so-called gifts or campaign donations, they're not buying votes. They could give a rat's butt about a vote. They are looking to be able to have less oversight, less scrutiny, fast-track, do whatever, and operate as loose as they possibly can. Hands off, laissez-faire.
Yep.
So this is what they are buying from Kurt Caldwell. You understand?
Yep.
In the context that it's presented, oh, yeah, well, he's gotten campaign fund. But it translates into he has control over the inspectors at Department of Planning and Permitting. He has control to call, to dictate. His managing director has insight and input. And that's what is really being sold, folks. It's not the campaign. Because remember, the campaign is kind of risky, and an example of that is Neil Abercrombie. So these companies are not so well wedded that this is an unbreakable relationship. They're not buying the vote. They don't care about the vote. Basically, they'd like to, but it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, the mayor controls. You're so right. The mayor controls the DPP person he appointed them. The DDP person goes before the city council for a budget. They mm-hmm. need money, whether it's maintenance, operation, capital, or general obligation bond from the city to the heart. Well, now the DPP chairman can't, I know his name, but I don't remember. So he has who's sitting next to him is Hart.
Mm-hmm.
So now Hart is going to supply whatever the DPP didn't supply.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm sitting there and I'm there live again and again and again, it happens the same way. And when the conclusions have already been reached, none of them are there.
Mm-hmm.
There is just a vote.
Yeah, well, again, and City Council, Ikaika Anderson and all of those guys, and Kimberly Pine, I mean, I must qualify this or say to the listeners out there that Dave Shapiro is my kind of man.
Yes.
Okay, and I believe he calls it the way it is. And as much as I admire Ms. Kobayashi, you've shared, but as much as I do, I still say that at some point when billions of dollars are at stake, I don't want to just see a measly ass, they've been lying to me and they've been doing this. I want somebody to be pulling their hair out and saying, let's get involved and let's do something, right? Don't
yeah.
vote for these monkeys anymore. I want to hear that. Let's see the Patsy Mink slamming the fist on the table. That's when you are really deserve the accolades, and you voted around me, you danced around me, you manipulated the vote, you did this, damn it, I'm tired of it. You know, people, this is what's really going on.
Well,
right?
I've seen her try, and
I don't want to get into discussing, I'm just
no.
sharing with you that this is, and
sure.
so I appreciate, because it is frustrating. It is frustrating to, as equally as frustrating to watch the people on the west side vote Kimberly Pine in. And every time, we tried to get her input on the hippopotamus, and no comment. They killed the city, killed the hippopotamus through its contract works and destruction, and then run around and lie about it. Then in turn, she has no comment, but the next thing you know, you look on the website, there she is walking down, taking a stroll in the park with the hippopotamus pond. You know, this is what's problematic.
Yes, I understand, and I appreciate your program so much.
But, hold on one second. Call a good morning. Go ahead with your comments.
Yeah, this morning about 8:30, there was a police escort leading the machine that moves the zip lane
mm-hmm.
towards Honolulu. It was passing under the Kahama Bridge at that time, causing a huge traffic jam, at least for all the cars behind it. There was a bunch of trucks that had signs, you know, that moved the traffic away from the zip machine. And I bypassed it, and I just thought I needed to call somebody to have them check it out, because I would imagine that come tomorrow, the people coming home are not, may not have a zip lane machine.
Yeah, and I'm glad you called, because I just came in, drove from there, and it was right there at the interchange, pretty much, when you come around H1. H2 to H1, and you get on H1, you look and you see these blue lights, and what it is that the police is there. And I'm thinking, what are they doing now? Is zipper lane
yeah.
open? They're inside the zipper lane. It's open today. So are they pulling maintenance on it, or did it break down?
Well, they got the machine. They're taking the machine with them.
Yeah.
That moves their lane. So I'm concerned, is that machine going to be ready to work tomorrow?
Or is this another planned traffic jam?
I have no idea. I just thought that you, with your sources, you can check it out.
Yeah, we'll ask. But I just drove by on the way to the station here, and I thought, what is the zipper lane open to date for, and what are they doing? And then there was
yeah.
road safety trucks and police escort, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I hope tomorrow's going to be a brighter day.
Me too. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Mr. Koss, I'll end right now with this. When you just said another traffic jam, that's the Trojan horse. And thank you so much for your program.
Well, let me ask you before you, did you drive the, ride the handy van?
Three times a week.
On the day of the, were you by chance?
No, because I didn't go out that far. But if I had gone out that far, absolutely. Because how would the people on the van get off to go into another conveyance? Therefore, they must stay on. If they're in the jam and they're in the van, where do they go?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, so I can only say this vicariously because I wasn't there. But I've heard some people say there has been a positive change in the van. There hasn't, because I have somebody living right next door to my apartment who has canceled two appointments because of the no vans available. Vans available. And lastly, for me personally, appointment at 9:10:15, I call and they tell me it's in Waipahu. My van is in Waipahu coming to Kalihi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same problem, and Roger Morton is responsible, and John Black got replaced. And to support what you're saying about the van, handy van in the traffic, ask yourself, how does the person in a wheelchair get out of the van in that jam?
Here's what I wanted to try and explore.
Yes.
This survey that we're going to post up at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com.
Yes.
And if you could go there and just fill out or send us an email on if you had an experience of, as we've indicated, and I'll indicate some other, share some other insight. But here's the thing, when what's plausible, when we look at this, might possibly be a stage traffic jam. So,
yes.
So now we know what that was, $250 million or $57 million, that was for the buses, and but they took it out and they didn't. Hart didn't use the money. Am I correct?
$210 million. Okay. From 5307 grant money taken from the van to the rail.
Okay, so they didn't. They took it and took the money out of that budget for the van pool, and then when we said here on this show many times talking about it, and you talked about it 5701, but here's the problem. They took that money and they claimed that they didn't use it.
No, that's the. And I'm not going to go into my letter to Roger Morton. I'm going to just say this. They took it, but they didn't say they used it. So therefore, when they're confronted with the problem, they say, yes, we did take it, but no, we didn't use it.
Okay, well, here's my point. They took the money, and this is why I believe it's not far-fetched or difficult to accept this, start thinking as a conspiracy, and that is, they took the money to do whatever. Why would they take it if they weren't going to use it?
They're going to use it for the federal grant money. They had $1,500,000,000 coming, but they had to prove they had collateral.
Right, I got that, but they didn't use it.
They didn't use it.
Let me finish for a minute. They didn't use that money, so that meant it still impacted the bus service and the van service because there was needed money that was taken out of the loop, and in turn they claimed they didn't use it. So
more vans, more personnel, ramps that don't work.
Right. So they then used the money for two purposes, I suspect. One was to qualify for using that money to help qualify for the federal grant.
Yes.
But then also is to stage it and make it appear that traffic was so bad. This is why, and some of the people that are not really Akamaita, to what lies can be told in misrepresentation, that see, with this traffic and the lack of buses, this is why we need the rail. And I think half of that is attributable to Kurt Caldwell.
Yes.
And you mentioned Don Horner and the others. But, you know, as clandestine and as cloak and dagger as all this seems, and they present themselves as geniuses, I fault the taxpayer.
Yep.
Because it's like many times we complain and say, well, you know, the media don't tell you anything. The media don't. They shape the story and make the story, and then, you know, if it's something important, people have gorged themselves now with information, and they're still sitting on the sideline going, well, you know, did you hear they're going to extend the taxes? Did I hear anybody say, hell no, this is enough? No, we don't hear that.
No.
You know, it's like...
as I see it, one is apathy for whatever reason, two, fear, and three, greed. And it's Machiavelli, he knows that that's the personality, and if you want to be prince, you use apathy, fear, and greed.
Well, I think what we just should say is that we can modernize this thing. We can say that
it's
Kurt Caldwell, PRP,
yes,
and the rest of the ship. That's what it is. And
yes.
Okay, I got you. You're really close to this this rail, more so than my knowledge of it. This maglev. Now, using the existing rail, don't use steel on steel now and abandon that and put maglev. What is maglev?
Maglev, it's you do not have a steel wheel on a steel rail. It is elevated, and therefore it moves air between the surfaces.
Right.
And I need the figures, if I could read them. I need something far more substantial in terms of education, in terms of maglev.
Magnetic levitation.
Magnetic levitation. I know, for example, the Philae system never comes up where you have little magnets in the ground, and that vehicle could be on the surface, and it could go to Kaneohe, it could go to Waipahu, and all over.
Weren't they floating that initially?
Yes.
Yeah. So what? So they were so committed to that, and I remember Ann Kobayashi and others.
Yes.
And I'm thinking now all of a sudden, wait, we were complaining about the height and the viewplane and the consumption of ag land, and then, oh, well, get rid of the steel on steel and let's do maglev on the same structure. Why don't we stop?
I'm going to give you the quick matrix. Hot lane, steel wheel, maglevity, monorail, rubber on concrete, failure system. And then down the left-hand side of the page, and I'm just going to say criteria, safety, schedule, speed, noise, access, comfort, ADA, flexibility, land, UH, etc. They never did that.
Yeah.
Where is the document that compares and contrasts the vendors with the service?
And what guarantee, and who's going to control the double dipping and the multiply subcontracting to subcontractors and to
people?
Who's going to have the oversight in it? The same people that's overseeing the steel on steel?
Well, that's why they want state to use it, examine the city, and the city abandoned the city, and you got Roger Morton being investigated by the Ethics Commission by Formby, and it's just collusion.
You're so liberal with your words, and when you use the term ethics, you know darn well, my friend, there's no ethics in this town when it comes to oversight.
No, there isn't, because
you must not have been drinking your Tsingtao today. Because
if you
had drank a Tsingtao, you would have a clearer vision and ability to communicate.
After I talk to you, I'm on double Daniels with a beam back, and the Tsingtao is a chaser.
But it drives you to drinking, believe it or not, with this craziness. It's
you can hear it. You can hear it.
Yeah, it's sad, Richard. But anyway, here's some of the. I asked you about the van, handy van. But here's some of the questions, and I'm hoping all of you out there will participate and share. Did you use a freeway with the broken zipper lane mobile to go home?
No, I haven't.
How long? Not you, but I mean, these are some of the questions, and hopefully people will chime in. How long were you caught in the traffic jam? What was causing the bottleneck in your route? About what time did you reach the bottleneck, and how many lanes of traffic were open for vehicles to use?
Yeah.
Do you have any comments or suggestions about how the traffic jam could have been better handled?
Yeah.
Did you use an alternate route? Just a moment here. And did you use a side road to go around the freeway traffic jam? If so, which road did you use?
Yep.
Was there a specific area on that road that was causing a bottleneck? If so, what was causing the bottleneck, and about where was it located? Do you have any other comments or suggestions about how the traffic jam could have been better handled? So these are some of the questions we're looking for. Hold on. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comments.
Yeah, I was just going to talk a little bit about traffic.
All right.
It seems in general a vehicle with wheels and a motor wouldn't stay in one place long as it was running. So, you know, just by hoo-ha, where does traffic jam actually come from? Well, some scientists explained it by pouring marbles into or a funnel. A few marbles, plenty of room. They go through more marbles. They start backing up, bumping into each other and slowing down because the capacity's been increased. So nobody's probably ever really looked at how to increase the capacity, the number one issue. And then I was thinking also, there's Germany with the Autobahn. What if the cars out front are doing 200 kilometers an hour and the rest of them trying to catch up? Where are you going to find a traffic jam on the highway there?
Well, the problem is if you do 200 miles here, you pass the point in a matter of minutes. You know, you'd have to turn around. Imagine the environmental impact that would cause. Oops, I hit the gas, and within no time, a matter of seconds, I was down the road.
You could do about 200 kilometers an hour for 5 hours in Nevada. You could do it for about 5 minutes here.
Brother, we're talking about people. We're talking about people driving here in Honolulu. Have you driven a car lately and tried to deal with some of the drivers here?
Yeah, I'd have to put on the airline announcement. Stay to the right-hand side of the road if you're parking, stopping, or stupid.
And then, you know, the state, the way they deal with commercial trucks, they're in the main lane and, you know, in the main part of the day. And so, yeah, it would require a lot of thinking.
I think heavy vehicles are supposed to work in the right-hand lane.
Well, you know, but again, these are the types of things. And you add in the overturns and then add in the 18 days to do an investigation, you know.
The exits aren't smooth enough to take out for a large, you know, stripe of traffic where you
right.
need it.
Well,
and the traffic lights are red. They're not yellow and green.
Yeah, but we've got another call. You guys can hold on. But
okay.
I would like to see all those that are proposing anything new present us with some formal documents so that we can see it. Don't catch us at our weakest point and then go, well, I think you ought to use maglev or spaceships.
Well, that's why we have a democracy. It's the dummies, the general public go up to the people that know how to do things. Hey, let's try it like this, but the people up there, they're being corrupt instead of listening.
Yeah, and
our various inputs, no matter how scrambled they are.
Exactly. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Solution, get a gyrocopter and you avoid all the traffic.
All right.
That's my solution.
Okay, where do you gas up with the gyrocopter? He disappeared there. But anyway, this is an interesting thing. It all ties in. And again, I read this article this morning with Star Advertiser, and I thought, okay, we get served the same things. This is who pays the money. I would like to see an article or story or something in greater detail of explaining what it is that these people, why do they gravitate? Why do they have deep pockets when they approach these politicians? Is it just to get them into the office? That's okay. That's an acceptable explanation on the surface. But what is really at play here?
There could be, like, would you say surface level detailed or supernatural detailed?
Yeah.
Big debate there.
Yeah, we've been fed enough information to know, okay, there's something wrong. The guy is, look, he got some, but no, what's really, it's giving you an insight how corrupt the system is and the invitation to take money for voting. We should go to a funded, government-funded voting process in that way. But then, even then, something will happen. Their favorite politician who's willing to screw the people will end up with three condos in Tahoe and Dubai, and we'd never know. So
maybe it's the union reps, because it's their boys and girls that are breaking their backs, sucking in the dust, hanging out in the sunlight, probably getting damaged before retirement age and putting through all kinds of applications and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well,
something started, I guess, as a focus point with the Union Stewards.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to post the pictures up on about 2 weeks ago, I was over there taking pictures of birds, and Tina Quizon was reminding me, look up there, that there's some cracks in the rail thing, you know, in the cement. And, you know, for me, it's like, okay, we get one more problem, and it's just, we already know that we should kill this rail. How many billions of dollars are they really saying now it's going to cost?
I guess when they talk about it at that level, doesn't matter. We'll just write it down somewhere, and it'll be carried electronically,
mm-hmm.
keep working. It's the laborers that are getting it.
Yeah, someone said, I heard Pana say this yesterday and that. And I mean, I've had so much information flying by and being tossed out there, but it seems like we're still stuck in the same quicksand.
It's, yeah.
You know, we're all standing up to our waist in quicksand, and people are saying, hey, you know, this is broken, that's broken, this is bad, that's bad, and then someone go, that's really bad, and look what they're doing. But you know what? Let's do maglev. You know what I say? Give me an environmental impact statement. Give me a formal commitment. Tell me who the player is going to be. Are we going to have an ensaldo that belong to another friend of somebody else's? Show me the ethics first. Show me that you're going to make sure we don't repeat the same nonsense, right? And then I might be willing to accept that as an individual. But right now, I ain't buying any of it. It's just ludicrous, the whole process.
We could do a semi test. I'm not sure. We say they have pylons out to Waipahu. Start running the train between the pylons they have set up and see how good it starts doing.
Well, anyway, it's just be reminded, folks. I guess the takeaway from this one would be they're not just giving donations to see him campaign. They're giving donations to see him be able to have an unobstructed access to the permitting process and to not to, you know, the bigger problem with this is that the zoning commission on the city zoning and planning, they fall under the city too, right?
Absolutely.
And all of the other committees that oversee and overlook these things, and that's the power, see. If you think Kirk Caldwell is just a smiling face with his Palaka shirt on, then you've missed your history class.
I know their class of people are coming out with the way they're dealing with the homeless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
Nazis.
Go ahead. I hear you. Three of you want to say something. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, you're absolutely right about the collusion among all the departments at the state and at the city level.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to this is the criteria for a quality risk management.
Mm-hmm.
That was by Mr. Deming 30 years ago. And the reason why they do it is for status, for position of power, for ambition, for cash. I'm going to end here because I support everything you're saying, and thank you so much for giving us the opportunity.
Alrighty.
It is not Richard, it is we. It is we who thank you.
I'm going back to the internet.
Okay, thank you guys.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cox.
All right. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question. Hello? Hello?
Program, my poker program. Caller.
Hello.
You know,
you're breaking up there. Go ahead and start over again. What were you saying?
Oh, well, anyway, thank you for your programming. And you know, Richard and the other guy, you know, they're so knowledgeable callers like you. I'm glad they're on your bandwagon. Hey, but about the rail, I saw this week, but I'm not sure. In the news, Channel 9, they were showing the rail, and they said there's a lawsuit going on between... I think NAN Inc. is suing Hawaiian Dredging or something.
NAN Inc. Apparently, I hadn't gotten the greater details, but supposedly NAN Inc. is challenging some of the contracts or something.
Yeah. Do you guys know any further? Because I should have called back, you know, to the station. I usually do, and just to clarify the news, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But I've been busy, so... I'm going to be all up to you guys because I'm going to get offers if I get involved, but I never did like the rail from day one. I was against it. I voted against it. I didn't vote for Cardwell and all of those same old people I voted for. Everybody did, you know, hopefully new people, they make a difference, but I have no idea what is the voters thinking.
They're not. You know? They're not.
Yeah, they're not thinking. I know they just go according to the union. Oh, I don't know what is going
on.
Well,
the reason, and it's not that to speak of the intelligence or the intellect of the voters. What it is that the machine that manipulates,
right?
The way it presents it, you see. On one hand, it's saying, "Oh, we don't want this and we don't want that," and the next hand, you know. So the Ethics Commission is just absolutely missing in action.
I know, good for nothing. Yeah, nobody gets punished or accountable for their actions. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't. But you know, Carol, I'm so happy that you came aboard to this island. How long have you been here?
Some say too long, but
but we need someone like you, man. It takes guts like Richard and the other callers so informative. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of informative callers. That's why I try to make my schedule Sundays to listen to Polka because, you know, very interesting.
Well, we appreciate that.
Huh?
We appreciate that. And keep the station in mind because...
No, and I tell. When I go out, I talk about K108, about you folks.
Yeah, I can tell you that what's available here is you can't find it anywhere else.
Exactly. That's what I tell the people. But, you know, hey, they have other things to do, but... I know there are few that now listening to you guys programming like Hash and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, even with as liberal and as supposedly free and accessible as Olelo has been manipulated to a point that raises concerns with me and the enterprises and the companies that have control and insight and direct. So the public is being pushed out, folks, believe it or not, with this. So... You, if you knew what I knew, you'd learn to appreciate KWAI because...
Oh, definitely. I do.
There's no sensory. There's nothing. Yeah. It's you know, you come in and the owner, Sam and Barry, actually support. If there's anybody that support community actions, it's them. And, I mean, you know, we got to be factual with what we say, of course, still holding the same. But we can't pull the wool over people's eyes. But
and, yeah, really for the environment. That is so crucial, you know. Yeah. Not many people really care. They only talk.
Yeah. So we're going to do the next hour on the environment and some other things in the same vein. So feel free to call back, and we'll be talking later.
But I think I'm important too. I got to take credit because it's word of mouth too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people go out and at least just reach one or two people out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially me. I'm so talkative.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, you have to come in here and do the show one day.
Oh, no. I'm not that informed. I will get the mumbo jumbo, in other words. So, anyway, thank you for your program and all your callers. I do appreciate all
of
them.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll see you shortly.
Hopefully. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Okay, we'll be back shortly here, and this is the Carol Cox Show. We'll be right back.
Two.
for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning again and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. It's just great day. It's like living on a broken record. All you can say, it's beautiful today and it's beautiful tomorrow and it was beautiful yesterday. So thank goodness for Hawaii, and we owe it to ourselves. We're fortunate, and so those that live here are fortunate, and we should keep it nice, clean, and presentable. Anyway, you know, we talk about the mayor getting the financial donations, and if you were to look at the number of donations made by these companies to all of these politicians, you'd wonder, where are they making their profit? So when they bid, does their bids include a little bit of dough for the bro, you know, or the sister, or something like that, you know, because possibly something that a bid for $1 million could be $3 million, and $1 million of that would probably go to donations of golf games, and so basically we're just washing money. But anyway, that's a whole different story. But we were talking about the mayor, and when we see these donations, these quote campaign donations, you really don't know the real meaning. And I'm going to hope to share with you. Did you know that? Did you know that here in this state, now once upon a time, way back when, there was an incident that involved the spilling of medical waste. Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't spilling. There was a portion that was intentional release. But, you know, it was due to a 100-year flood that was presented by Gary Gill and that crew and the EPA. So, and you know, a long time ago, it was some while back, and I don't know how long ago, but see, might be in recent times too, there was two men indicted at the landfill for having some responsibility or participation or some act, and they allegedly did something in violation, so the U.S. attorney indicted them. Well, I'm informed, possibly, and I don't know the details, and I don't know if this is to be real fact, but I just tossed out there, there may be a third indictment coming. So, having said that, what is the state of Hawaii doing, the Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch, and who is responsible for oversight and managing and monitoring and regulating and issuing permits to the city and its operators for a landfill, the Waimanalo Gulch landfill? What is happening with that? Well, unfortunately, folks, you know, politics is politics, and government, when you see these, quote, campaign donations, here's what the companies are really getting when they give that donation. What you're getting is that, you see, you and I, we've heard for years about the landfill. It was going to close. It should be open there. We're going to take care of it. We're going to manage it. Did you know that I have a letter here where I've been inquiring about the landfill and its operation, because there's some weird things going on up there, and I'll point them out to you shortly. But one in particular here, this is an email response to questions under the UIPA that I requested. And the statement is, the solid and solid waste section have not conducted an inspection at the Waimanalo Gulch landfill since March 10th, 2011. But we have conducted site visits related to reported incidents, reports, leachate, exceedance, and you had requested reports. Anyway, so that goes back to, remember Neil Abercrombie? He got lots of money, lots of pocket change, lots of pocket. Didn't do him any good because we are the voters, we got smart. Then we got duped, as he presented. But remember now, this incident of this medical waste and all of the failure of the CLE-6 and all of that, and the potential threat for 7 million gallons of water rushing down the mountain and wiping out the power plant, that potential threat existed. And you heard that two men were indicted for that, or contributing to some of that, or whatever the allegations are that they were indicted for. But you would think that Neil Abercrombie, with Gary Gill during their tenure, would have been more aggressive in their efforts if they are knowingly observing the illegal operations of this landfill, and then to confirm it by having an indictment of the operators. And mind you, those operators are still there that were indicted and operating. So imagine to just walk away and leave it to self-policing. Does that ring a bell? So this is what you, I'm trying to share with you, and I don't want to be the smartest guy on the bus, but this is what we need to start asking questions about. Is forget the campaign donation. Just start thinking, what can it buy? What does it really buy? And so on the Neil Abercrombie, what it bought was protection. You see? No inspections for the landfill, folks. No inspections since March 2011. Now, there are incidents where the operator reports, and these are the same people that were indicted, and just because you're indicted don't mean you're guilty of anything, but you would think there would be an army of inspectors to ensure that with several things there, that we don't contaminate the environment, we don't burn the holes in the liner from fires, we manage the fires or the conditions of the fires there within the landfill to prevent it. We take trash, we take radiated waste, it enters our gate, we must know where, in fact, at all times, where this material is. But in instances, we've lost control. We don't know where it is. These are reports now that I've gathered from the UIPA. Fires in the landfill. And in turn, but they don't call it fires. They call it oxidation. But there was a hole burned in the liner from one of the fires. They're not using daily cover as we know it, the routine practice. They're using tarps now. And this is the protection that companies are buying, folks. And protection is, and this is the insulting part, hire a private guard to protect the private company's interest who is serving a contract with the city. And the city owns the landfill, and so the city is at fault too. So, again, what is it that they're really buying from Kurt Caldwell? Are they buying sharpened pencils so that he can have the votes that have cast for him show clear? Or are they buying influence and buying protection? That's what you're getting in campaign donations. And so that one letter for some 4 years approximately, not a single unannounced inspection of the Waimanawa Gulch landfill. So you have issues of dirt, dust, the wrong materials being taken in. And I'm just going to read a few of these incident reports. And this one's from Lene E. China Subo. Justin just called up to update the fire identified at Waimanawa Gulch Landfill Cell E7 on Thursday, September 12, 2013. They're not even going up there to inspect these conditions to prevent these fires. So imagine if a fire gets out of control up there, it's a big cost. The taxpayer eats it. Not the company. Not the city, but the taxpayer. They dug up the area. They found the geotextile on top of the leachate line damaged, but no other damage noted. The affected area was about 1 foot to 3 foot, 3 feet. Now, if you're supposed to be protecting and you have a liner guaranteeing that this is not possible to leach into the ground and you're insulating and protecting and containing this waste, but you have fires. So that leads me to say there must be something wrong. Here's another one on another note here. Two laborers picking litter spotted a small surface fire in the E7 cell near the toe of the waste slope. Near the toe now, at the foot. So Any of these could cause, if they are saturated with water, or the as Gary Gill put it, the 100-year storm comes by again, then we have a disaster. So the two laborers saw this, and they called waste management staff to help and immediately started placing cover over the waste. Waste management decided to cover the fire in place and add water to help prevent air intrusion. So, I'm not an engineer and I'm not a firefighter, but let me just tell you, one of the problems that the landfill is frequently experiencing is a generation of leachate and the measuring of leachate and the management of leachate. Leachate is a liquid. It could be just fresh rainwater, but once it contacts with the trash and percolates down, it's drained out. That becomes leachate and must be treated as such and transported to a dump, to a sewer system to send to the sewer plants. So how is it that they were encouraged and allowed and continue to be allowed to use water to put on the trash to put the fire out, which generates leachate, and then in turn the leachate sump pumps in certain areas are broken? The right hand don't know what the left hand is doing. I think they do. It's just that the right hand can't seem to get a grasp because they got the palms greased with money, you see. And so Caldwell is responsible for this, to leave the public exposed to this for 4 years under his watch. Now, as mayor, he was the managing director, but all of this time, to include the period of time that he went as mayor, we even had no inspections of the landfill. So this is just one of the things. Let me go through here and get another one for you. Waste management are submitting an enclosed non-compliance notification. This is May 3, 2013, from the Waimanawa Gulch landfill, a notice of non-compliance. And basically, during routine monitoring of leachate sumps as required by solid waste permit, waste management discovered a discrepancy between a manual measurement of leachate elevation and a system measurement that uses downhole instrumentation. The compliance elevation for this sump is 88.10 feet above mean sea level, and the measured value as 93.81. So imagine they are exceeding it. And yet the state has no inspectors to go up unannounced routinely. Hadn't done anything in 4 years. Now, where does that protection come from? Well, it comes from people like Neil Abercrombie. When you pour money and you appoint Gary Gill and you say, well, Gary, you want to be my head of that environmental department, I want you to watch it closely and I don't want any trouble. And what that means is that trouble means that there's going to be visitations by the inspectors. Oh, and by the way, we really don't have any inspectors, not sufficient to go and sample and inspect thoroughly. So these things would never happen because the funding, they don't hire people. They fired one or removed one by threatening him. So, again, at 10, here's another email. At 10 o'clock a.m., liquid level was checked manually inside the sump. Using a liquid level indicator tape, the depth registered 62.2, and the actual measurement was 93.81. Pacific Electromechanical checked the leachate recovery system for problems starting at 12 p.m. Again, leachate problems. Where does it go? Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment.
Oh, hi, Carol. Listen, you wanted to hear a little story about the zipper lane and who was blocking everything.
Now, man to man. Now, I didn't say zipper stories. Now, I said zipper lane. make sure. Okay. Okay. This is a family show here now. So don't.
It could be that too. I tell you what. you needed to leak out. You know, people, I mean, you can you imagine being stuck on a bus for 3 hours?
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
That's undue harassment. That's...
Yeah, right. You have to go pee and you know, that kind of stuff. But anyway, my little story was I was at downtown on Hotel Street. We were waiting for the e-bus. Of course, you remember, all the buses can't get through the traffic either. So they were just packed like sardines. So they were passing all, we stayed there about an hour and a half, and we finally got it, we finally figured it out. And then we went up to Bartanian Street, and then and the same thing was happening. Buses were passing up because they were just so packed. And then we finally got a bus after about 3 hours. And it was still about a 3 hour ride. Mm-hmm. From about five in the afternoon to 11, we finally got to fly about 11 o'clock at night in the evening, you know. And mostly just waiting for the darn buses. And then, it was like stop and go. Go to Tennessee, wait 10 minutes to go to Tennessee, you know?
Wow.
And then, you know, I mean, can you imagine, I mean, this is what we're coming to, but you know what I observed a lot? And I've observed that a lot when I've been taking these darn buses. I look down on the freeway, and you know what you see? You see one person in this big two-ton car or van. They have a capacity of 4 to 6 seats. That's just wasting tons of space. And you know what? There's a lot of folks. If they really could figure it out, they would save themselves a fortune in gas and wear and tear on the mirrors and everything. And they wouldn't even take a darn bus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but folks, you know, that's what happened to me. My car broke down when I was working, and then I decided, well, I'll just take it back on the bus. And that was the most wonderful thing. And I saved a fortune on gas and wear and tear on my nerves and all that other kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I let my dad have the car for to go to high school. That's the kind of thinking that we've got to get used to it. You know, we cannot just keep on having every, what is it, about one car for every person on this island, about a million cars mm-hmm. on this island. And we just cannot, it's physically not possible to keep having all these darn cars with one person in it.
Yeah.
You know? It can't work, you know?
Things got to change, yeah.
Yeah. If nothing else, we just have to, I mean, even if we probably get that rail system going, there's still going to be, we're going to still need bus lanes dedicated only for buses, you know? So they can, people can figure out, oh, I can get from my power to town in 20 minutes on this exclusive lane, or I can wait 2 hours in traffic and I'm going to pay $50 a day to park or whatever,
mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of stuff. But anyway, things have to change. You cannot concentrate this many people and cars in one little darn island like we have and expect it to move slowly. I mean, to move fast.
Right, but we got with the zipper lane and all, this is a matter of management. This wouldn't...
Well, right.
I agree with you that we need to reduce the number of cars, but you're speaking and sticking to this particular issue is just what are they doing? But anyway, I appreciate it, and thanks for calling.
Another way to solve the darn thing, part of the problem is the zipper lane going west in the afternoon, too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll
talk to you again, Dave.
Yeah.
All right. Aloha. Well, thank you. So, with this, the bus, the handy vans, there is no perfect world. If you put me in that same situation, as a mayor, as just not with the monies and the kickbacks and all of that and the favors, any of us would experience the same because of the system and the demand that this monster calls for. What it begs a lot from anyone managing.
it becomes complicated when you introduce the element of washing the hand and slapping the back and paying favoritisms and interfering with the permitting process and speeding up the permitting process, because in theory, the permitting process is to make an assessment to see if, in fact, not to say that you can't do something, but to try to get the optimal results, to try to blend in, so to speak. I'm using that word freely, but to wed different programs or projects with some thought, how they complement one another. But if you're corrupt and you are taking money and you want to stay at the gravy train, at the trough for the public, and you like power like Caldwell and these other dudes, then you're going to sacrifice the people's well-being. Right off the, that's the first thing that goes off of any politician's desk in this town, the interests of the people. That is like, well, you got no room for that guy. So, you know, I need to make some room for my friends, my golf games, my donations, and what's that? Oh, this is the people's interest, Kirk. Oh, get that out of here. You know, we don't need that. You know, it's an impediment. So the reality is that there is, when we talk about corruption, and you know, it's, we can use it freely and just apply to everything. But to be specific, I think we need to tax ourselves with coming up with specifics. So I'll give you an example. About 2012, I sat here on this show and talked about a number of illegal dump sites in the town of Wahiwa, out by the military base. And one of the contractors that was serving was on the military base with Island Haulers, and that was Sea Alaska. A large volume of grubbing and dirt was taken and dumped in the canyon up in which was a threat to the, is a threat to the watershed and the streams. Then I also found that materials that were dredged from the Alawai, as it floats in down, there was a contract servicing the state's interests. That material was taken to Wahiwa and dumped in the canyons. And much, much more. And then I also found in that same area, this is a vast area, in that same area I was able to find that H-power ash and metal, and H-power ash and metal raises some great concerns with the constituents in them, cadmium, nickel, lead, barium, all of those things, and their dioxins, furans, and what have you. And their permit, Island Recycling is a company, their permit does not allow them to take that material off of their property and process it. Well, I found that they did, in fact, take material and processed it up in Wahiwa. So, the state, this is in 2012, so the state finally, I took in witnesses and the truck drivers and all that came to me, and we put things together. And the state finally issued a fine for $29,000. But unfortunately, this is once again where you get, you find the protection from the Neil Abercrombie and from others in during his era. So this is the complaint that they filed, and basically I just give you the State Health Department notice and finding a violation and order of docket number and 14SHWSWS010 and 2014. But what this is that they're saying under Hawaii Revised Statute Section 342H-7 and 342D-9, the Department of Health is issuing the enclosed NFVO. The DOH requires that you implement corrective actions regarding state solid waste, clean water, non-compliance issues, and pay a penalty of $29,300 per the NFVO. But the problem is, the state protects this one individual company. And this is on Dole land that is being leased to this contractor. Major, major violations and environmental problems. So how does the state handle this? To cover up and give protection to this private entity. And also the H-Power ash, is owned by the city, so therefore you can see the state playing protection, a goon or what, a bouncer for the city as well. So it goes, during the October 25th, 2012 inspection at respondent's permitted facility, inspectors observed a pile of less than 1 cubic yard of rusted metal. Respondent stated the metal originated from H-Power and contained ash. Now, the city, I'm going to ask Monday, did the city get violations? Did they, because it is their vendor who has a contract, who knows, and it is the city's responsibility from cradle to grave to see that if they generate it, it's supposed to be processed and placed and disposed of properly. Right now, we have dioxins and furans, ash containing those elements and constituents and others, mercury, lead, and all, up there in the soil. What did the state do? Now, I'm not angry about it, but I'm glad they did something. But it took them more than 2 years and a lot of mean pissing and moaning about it. But again, protection money. This is what your campaign, when you read campaign donations, this is what it really means on the flip side. So this kind of behavior, and then I have others on Kauai where I've extensively, and they've just blown it off. But we're going to go back and ask them again, why don't you prosecute this person? Because it was on the scale of 1 to 10, it was about a 10 in contaminants that this person would cut and drain 50, 60 gallons of fuel oil and diesel onto the ground and contaminants. What did the state do? Nothing, but we're still pursuing them. That was about 2 years ago. So this whole process of when you think you understand some of it, you really don't know any of it, because I want to say it's like the mafia, but I'm going to take the liberty and assume that this is how the mafia works, because it's corrupt. The end result is the same. The people get defrauded. The people get exposed to chemicals. The people see their environment degraded. So I'm going to say that this is corruption, and there's money involved. So the people giving the money tend to benefit and tend to have blind eyes when it comes to the enforcement or the regulatory aspect of it. So rather than just claiming that this town is corrupt, I can state that and demonstrate that it is corrupt. And it's not just one person being ripped off. It's the entire population, because wherever we take these situations and overlay them in any community, this is how the state of Hawaii operates. It believes that, and I've heard them and tell them to tell me this directly, if we're a state agency and we are the regulatory body and we find that the city is violating the law, why should we, as a taxpayer-funded organization, the state, take money from the city, who is taxpayers' money, and put it in our coffers? Why don't we just have a workout? Well, why don't we just fire you and prosecute you because you have a duty to enforce and uphold the law? That's what this is about. So that's where you get the corruption. This is where you get the fraud. This is where you get the abuse. And this is why I say so freely on this show, when I sit here, it's corrupt. I can tell you. I can show you. Go beyond the surface and tell you. We are all exposed to contaminants in the environment because we have corrupt people in the managing positions in the state of Hawaii. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you.
Didn't get that. You can call back if you like to, hopefully the phone, but this is another reason, if it was a prank, why you shouldn't do drugs. But anyway, go for it. But again, let me just give you an example. October 24th, here's a letter. Waste Management hereby submitting an enclosed noncompliance notification form for the Wibanaw Gulch landfill regarding leachate, right? And during routine monitoring, leachate sumps were blah, blah. Here's another one, dated December 17th. Lene, the E8 leachate sump went out of compliance yesterday, August 28th. Waste Management of Hawaii hereby submitting this noncompliance notification, October 29th. Waste Management hereby submitting this enclosed noncompliance notification. I mean, you know, at some point you think that, don't we have a jail cell big enough for these dudes, or we need to build one? But again, what does this mean? If you think it's laughable, if you think it's funny and it has no consequences, when they are taking leachate and it's building up excessively, they got to get rid of it somewhere. They can't dump it in the ocean directly, so they take it and put it in a sewer tank and then a sewer pipe and run it to the station, and supposedly it's being treated. But down at the station, they're using ultraviolet lights. So how does the mercury and the heavy metals and the atropines and the biotics and all of those things and the rat poison that people put down the drain and all that and dump in the landfill, how does that get screened out of the landfill, out of the sewer treatment plant? All of that goes into the ocean. And all that a person had to pay to get to do that was $1.50 for one vote. If you think you don't have a reason to be mad, folks, you're really not informed. If you think that just flipping and saying, it's corrupt, they're all corrupt, well, it might be true. But down the end of the pipe, at the end of this pipe, it goes into the Pacific Ocean. And then it pollutes the living daylights out of everything because it's there. It's heavy metals. It's in your fish. It's in your limu. It's in everything. It's in your limpets. It's in your, you know. And guess what? You sit down to have dinner, and Kurt Caldwell and Neil Abercrombie, they got great campaign donations, and you got screwed. So that's what it is. To understand that, how can you, by law, you are mandated to inspect and regulate, you issue a permit with conditions to Waste Management, and you say, you must do these things and operate within these confines, and in doing so, if you fail to, you will be in violation, because, and how are you going to find me in violation? Oh, you're going to self-report yourself. You're going to incriminate yourself. Well, don't we live in America? Well, you know, you just got to report. Yeah, but that's not the way it goes, because we all know people will fudge the line. So why would anybody approach the legislators, and why would even the legislators in their corrupt fashion continue to fund this agency called the Health Department, called the DLNR, when they're not asking to show quality service? Why? Present the public protection of, make it front seat. So that's what corruption is in this state. If you think it's about, you know, someone comes along and bring a few girls and get them to go to Vegas and drink some fine champagne and wine and dine them. Mm-mm. No, there are consequences here. Consequences so large and so voluminous and so many of them that at the end of the day, we will never, when we look back and see that we lost all of this, but Caldwell got $200,000 for campaign donations, but we lost life, we lost quality, we lost a future, we lost species, we lost everything. And by the way, we still got to breathe and eat it. didn't just lose, we will continue to lose. So, again, I just can't understand how we can continue to find ourselves in this situation and then vote for these dudes. Is it not that we're just, are we tired voters, or are we just not apathetic? I don't, because I hear voters out there talking all the time. But maybe it's just that the information isn't provided in the right way. So, again, this is more logs, and I don't want to bore you with the logs and all, but I was trying to find the one with the radiation. I lost my place here. Talk too much. Have you ever had that problem? But if it is, it's not bad. You can survive it. But the H Power plant had planned on being down for routine maintenance outage beginning at next Wednesday, January 18th. And this is in 2012 now, through Wednesday. They have revised the schedule to include partial outage, okay? So what this is, I don't know if you understand or knew that when the landfill stores waste for H-Power, when H-Power is being maintenance or it's down and not functioning right. So here is a report in 2012, description and cause of non-compliance, right? Refuge Division incident report. Exceedance of the 500-ton temporary storage limit as conditioned in item 14 of Special Conditions 2 of the Solid Waste Management Permit. They violated that repeatedly. Not, just one more condition of the permit, mind you. And so imagine being at Coralina and you get this foul odor in the air. And you think, what is it? Well, they're storing waste. Storing waste now. And oh, and that reminds me, some of you were in the military and you know, and there was an old saying, my drill sergeants one time, and I mean, I had heard the term before, but this incident, the use of it with this time occasion was always memorable. And we were training and doing some, it was a prison camp, and he said, you know, you guys don't know your butt from a hole in the ground. You know, but he used the expletive. And so the way he said it was, and so I don't know if the state really knows. I think it would apply at the Wabanala Gulch. But here's a bigger trick. You know, they're building a pipe, and they just had it on TV, and it's the big tunnel, the channel tunnel, and it's going to go from one a sewage treatment plant to the next in Kailua. Get that? Why are they doing that? Because the sewage treatment plant that they're taking off of Bayview Drive area by the golf course, it really can't contain all the sludge and sewage, and it can't process it. So, and Kailua can't process theirs well enough either. They've had their lion's share of problems. So why do you think they built that? Well, remember I told you about years back that they built at Wahiwa this humongous tank to store waste so that they can catch up with it and then truck it across the island to the landfill or down the Sand Island treatment plant. And so I don't know what the tunnel costs, but remember the $35 million eggshell at Sand Island treatment plant? And that was to process the waste, and then we could turn around and grow pellets with that waste and grow nice vegetables and eat local. Yeah, right. Eating something else. But anyway, so here you are. You know what that tunnel is for, folks? You know there was this big problem they got the tail in the ringer over here when they were transporting sewage across the island and people were complaining? This tunnel is serving nothing more than a big jar where they're going to dump human waste in it
and store it. I don't know what they're going to, maybe they're waiting, and maybe somehow they suspect that or anticipate that someone is going to be able to process that and get it to use it as rocket fuel or something. I don't know. But that hole in the ground, because they can't process the waste now for throughout the islands. And then they're building more buildings and more offices. And so will some of this tunnel take off the stress? Isn't it funny how much money you can donate to someone and end up making billions on the people? And we then choose a leader who then gets to go back and take the donations. Boy, I love this place. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Well, hi, Carol. Sorry to call you back again today. It's the second time I'm home. But hey, you're lucky I got the whole of my phone. I was charging my battery, my phone. But anyway, no, you know what? You were talking about metals.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, about a month ago, they had a special day. I just so happened eating breakfast or watching news, you know, Hawaii News Now or whatever. And they had an assignment, you know, Howard Dykes and a few of the reporters. They were on the rail, seated on the rail.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the rail, it's going to nowhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that guy was responsible there, too, with his hard hat. Anyway, you know, and they're talking about the rail, all this goody-two-shoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't ask the hard questions. And, you know, right after that, when they had their piece, cameraman focused on the bottom of the rail. And, you know, it was all that agriculture land, all that green veggies. And you see the worker with his truck. I don't know what he was doing, watering or what. But I said, you know, you talk about metals, you know that rail, all that construction?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the particles are going in the vegetables, and guess what? The consumers are eating it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that terrible? I mean, the planning is so scary, you know, the whole OP, they're promoting that new area and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to be dealing with all that problems with that rail, you know. I mean, it's going to be horrendous. I don't know how this rail became to be. You know, sometimes I think the amendment, they kind of knew how to, you know, the wording.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, so local, they just, the way they read, they interpret it differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I think they were just too gullible. They thought it was a good thing, because now I hear a lot of them that work for it is against it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
I think that everybody out there that is opposed to it should contact the legislators and the city council and say, enough already, we want to do away with it.
See,
I don't think it's too late.
They don't do that. Yeah, I know it's not too late. As I keep on telling them when I go out, but for them to do it, that's another story.
Well, I think it can be done. Hey, remember now, this same population of voters voted Neil Abercrombie out. Now, we voted for Ige, and we're still waiting to see what...
the way I hear it from the grapevine, not so good, though. It's going to be worse, because he's been so indebted.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. Well, I didn't vote for him. I wanted, even though Duke, you know, everybody said, oh, he's just as bad. I said, no, but at least you can give him a try.
Yeah.
I think he would do a better job. More for the people.
I don't know. Maybe he is, but he's also Democrats and Caldwell and those guys and Abercrombie. It's their motto is, "In God We Trust." Iona is God I Trust, and see, you can't bring God I Trust to the. I personally, as a free citizen, don't want someone. If he could guarantee me that he's a good man, but I'm scared of anyone bringing in and saying, well, you know, we did this because the Lord wanted us to do it. That's a private belief. That's something.
Well,
you
I'd rather have his saying.
Well, I understand, but in government, because there are some of us don't believe in that fashion, so it's not to say he's a bad person, but it's that, you know, because...
But what's the alternative, Carol? That's what I mean. I know because you had a lot of... You interviewed a lot of people that was like against Iona, blah, blah. I heard all of that because I've been...
And I also reached out to ask him to come on the show, and they didn't, so...
Well, I mean, so
like that, I don't know.
Well, I know, so I'm just telling you. You know, it's fair, and it's not Carol Cox's world. It's about sitting here striking a balance. But again, the only concern I have is that leave God out of government. I don't care if you agree with me or not. It's just that I've watched it, I've seen it, and I've seen people persecuted, and many wars have been fought over God.
I know, and
I just think that if we can contain that and control it, hey.
But, you know, it's human nature. Everybody has choices, yeah? So, what's the alternative, Carol? That's what I mean. Oh, my gosh.
You have to make
a choice. You got to make a choice. Every individual has to choose. I don't care what.
Mm-hmm.
I know where you're coming from because there are things that I don't agree with what you're saying. Yeah. I know where you're coming from. I know that I have a gut instinct when it comes to people. Well, I might be wrong, but I spoke with you off the air, and you know, I understand where you're coming from. I don't agree.
I fear waking up in the middle of the night to a kaboom. And hearing, okay, get out of here. You don't believe in God. You know,
If people would believe in God more, they wouldn't have made all this bad choices.
You're going to jail because you didn't tell us that your neighbors were gay. And you've been, you know, these kinds of things. And you must understand something now. When they were implementing that in that whole policy and those practices in Museveni's area, he being Iona, says, I agree with what they're doing. It take me and Vivian to come 5,000 to 9,000 miles to Argentina to know and appreciate what they're doing in Zimbabwe or wherever the town, this country was.
Well, I give him credit for stick to his guns.
Well,
anyway,
but that's,
everybody, like I said, have choices.
Yeah, I know, but don't come in the government and have choices that impacts people unfairly.
Well, I don't think he would do it. Utilize that, you know.
Well, if he still can show us something different, I mean, you know, get out there and quit carrying the Republican line and talk about all people. Right?
A lot of organizations, too, they're against him or whatever, you know, for their reasons. You know, everybody, like I said, has choices. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you about that rail thing. They're digging all the old pipes and whatnot. They're making everything, except the roads are...
It's wait until they get in the inner city and see.
I know, because I live right here. I know it's just to go down the whole city side, and all the businesses are being affected.
Yep.
Me? I like to patronize them, but because of the road is all the steel plates are ruining my tires. I said, forget it. I'm gonna have to go other businesses, you know?
Okay. Well, we're going to get off here for
and
be back next
week. Okay.
Thank you for listening in. Thank you. Aloha.
Okay. Take care.
And then just in closing, one more. So here's 1-9-2012, an incident report submitted by Waste Management to a refuse truck operated by the city and county of Honolulu was redirected by the city to the landfill. The city also informed landfill personnel that the on-call consultant physicist CP from Gamma had been alerted and he was en route to the landfill to identify the presence of the radioactive material and remove it. When the truck arrived at the landfill, it was directed to an isolated area. The CP was unable to verify the presence of radioactive. And anyway, they lost it. The CP also indicated that no issues. Non-compliance issues, right? So anyway, caller, go ahead real quick.
Yeah, I wanted to send you a list of the names. There's a vote tomorrow, 3:00 at the legislature about extending the rail tax or the excise tax for 25 years. I wanted to send you a list of the legislators and their phone numbers. Maybe you can put it on your website.
Okay.
And people can call these people and tell them what they tell them no for
what they really think,
extension. And also I hope people fill out that survey that you got on there about if anybody was in the traffic jam, either on the freeway or on the side road, please fill out the survey and let you know, we need to figure out what happened with that traffic jam.
All righty. Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Aloha.
Right.
Hey, thank all of you for listening and me ranting, but that's the way it is, and I appreciate your joining us. See you next week.
The blue skies go. Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. Lost, oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Mercy, mercy, me. All things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds would in the
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.